The Reserve Bank has ratcheted up its concerns about surging house prices in parts of the country, warning that record low interest rates could encourage, quote, excessive borrowing. While the RBA doesn't think lending standards have deteriorated during the boom, it's carefully monitoring risk-taking by banks as borrowers rush into the red-hot real estate market, committing themselves to eye-watering loans. I'm joined now by Peter Ryan, the ABC's senior business correspondent and our regular Monday morning commentator. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Fran.
Peter, the Reserve Bank's language appears to be getting stronger about a potential real estate bubble. I mean, people have been watching for this and it hasn't been coming. Now it's starting to get there. But what, if anything, can the RBA do to cool the market?
Well, Fran, the message is pretty clear. The Reserve Bank's Governor, Philip Lowe, has repeatedly said the cash rate won't be rising from the near zero rate of 0.1% till 2024. And the other proviso is inflation returning to the 2-3% target band, wages getting higher and the jobless rate getting down below 5%. That means money is going to be remaining cheap, which means borrowers are still diving in, leveraging up to the hilt and locking down on fixed terms, some below 2%. Over the weekend, auction clearance rates were well above 80%. The Reserve Bank's six-monthly financial stability review says, yes, banks are in a strong position coming out of the economic crisis and lending standards are robust, although those low rates and surging house prices can create a risk of what the RBA calls excessive borrowing, which could weaken the resilience of businesses and households, especially if there is another shock, another black swan event, as we've seen with the pandemic. So with the RBA rejecting calls to step in with a rate rise as it has in the past, given the very low inflation, that means it's over to the banking regulator APRA, which might need to step in with what's known as macro-prudential measures, in other words, speed humps on banks to slow down their lending. So, Fran, no alarm bells just yet, but it is significant the RBA's changed its language slightly to say that it is now carefully monitoring real estate, putting it higher up on the agenda as the economic recovery dominates.
And what about our government? Does it have a role here? Would it be contemplating any action? I note that in New Zealand, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, she introduced tougher measures to avoid a housing bubble. Is anyone considering it? Would it work here?
Well, it's red hot, Fran, as you'd know. And over the past year, though, average prices in New Zealand surged by 22%, 29% in Wellington, prompting New Zealand's Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern to stem tax breaks for investors. For example, to avoid paying taxes when selling a property, an investor needs to hold it now for 10 years rather than 5 years, and tax deductions for investors will be scaled back. Now, that has been a political decision rather than one by New Zealand regulators. But of course, such intervention would be highly controversial here, and proposed changes to negative gearing, for example, really damaged Labor in the last federal election. Gareth Aird, head of Australian economics at the Commonwealth Bank, says any move to copy New Zealand's strategy to cool a housing bubble is highly unlikely.
Well, look, in New Zealand, it is the government that has taken measures to cool the housing market, and that's around taxation arrangements. And if you recall, Labor, leading into the last election, took some policy reforms to the electorate around negative gearing and capital gains tax, which had an impact on the housing market. Now, either side of politics here could look at reintroducing or going down that path of changing the arrangements around negative gearing or capital gains tax, but either the government or the Labor Party would take that to the electorate before actually bringing in any measures, as opposed to doing what the government in New Zealand has done, which is just simply change the legislation or look to change the legislation to slow the housing market directly.
It's such a hot political issue, and we saw what happened with Labor in the last election, wanting to bring those type of measures in. Would any government here be brave enough to touch that at the moment?
Well, look, it's an interesting one, and that's ultimately their prerogative. It's probably worth just thinking about what was happening in the housing market when Labor actually took those potential policy reforms to the electorate. House prices in Australia had actually been sliding nationally for around 18 months. So, you know, they were looking at basically bringing in changes into a market that was actually falling, whereas clearly it's very different now. I mean, the market is running red hot at the moment. You know, it's a funny one because it was only sort of 6 to 9 months ago the concerns out there were that house prices might fall quite a bit due to the COVID shock. So things have actually changed very, very quickly. At the moment, we haven't heard from either side of politics around bringing any measures there that could slow the market. And I suspect we're not going to hear that over the course of this year.
And one of the things the Reserve Bank is always looking at is another shock. We're recovering from the COVID-19 shock, but would they be concerned about something around the corner, another black swan?
Oh, look, every policymaker is concerned around a black swan. I mean, what the Reserve Bank, though, has articulated in their document on Friday is that the financial system and the banking system in particular is very sound. And in a lot of ways, the resilience of the financial system here in Australia has actually been tested through the COVID shock, and we've come through very well.
That's Gareth Aird, Head of Australian Economics at the Commonwealth Bank. But Peter, as Gareth said, you know, just because we haven't heard anything from our politicians about negative gearing, just because Labor paid a price for it electorally last election, doesn't mean it might not be even something that electors would countenance if the government, say, put a limit on the number of investment properties you could hold or something like that.
Well, it's got to be on the radar, particularly for Labor, because we're having a generation of people being locked out of getting into the housing market.
And that's just getting worse at the moment.
It's getting worse and it's not getting better, and there has to be some consideration of creating opportunities for people to actually be able to buy a house.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the housing policies at the next election. There's an update later this week, Peter, on employment. What are you expecting, and will there be any fallout from the withdrawal of JobKeeper late last month?
Well, we'll be seeing the latest employment figures for March on Thursday. Expected to see the jobless rate down to 5.7%. Economists are now predicting 35,000 new jobs were created in March. The Commonwealth Bank thinks 45,000. But we won't be seeing any sign of the withdrawal of JobKeeper probably till May or June, because that's going to be a bit of a lagging impact. But we do know the Treasury has warned that up to 150,000 jobs could go as a result of the removal of JobKeeper. There's also concerns about the delay in the rollouts of vaccines in Australia, given the changed advice on the AstraZeneca vaccine for anyone under the age of 50. Now, the CBA's Gareth Aird says that could slow the economic recovery, but he remains very optimistic that the improved data will keep rolling in.
It's clearly not helpful, and it's going to delay the resumption of trade in international services. So basically international tourism, education, exports, all of that's going to be delayed the longer it takes to roll out the vaccine here. And of course, it raises the risk of getting, you know, localised lockdowns or restrictions reimposed if you've got a slower rollout of the vaccine. But I think in terms of thinking about the domestic economy this year, provided we don't actually have, you know, more outbreaks of COVID and more lockdowns, I don't think actually that the slower rollout of the vaccine will derail what has been a very strong economic recovery to date. And we're still very optimistic on the outlook for this year and think that economic outcomes, production, employment, for the broader economy as a whole, I still think it's a pretty good outlook for this year.
Gareth Aird from the Combank. Peter, the ousted Australia Post Chief Executive, Christine Holgate, she goes before the Senate Committee tomorrow over the Cartier Watches affair. What can we expect?
Well, this appearance has been much anticipated. In a submission to the Senate committee examining her treatment at Australia Post, Ms. Holgate said the chairman of Australia Post lied to Parliament over the Cartier Watches affair, accused him of destroying her career and leaving her in need of mental health care. Now, Ms. Holgate said Lucia Di Bartolomeo treated her like a criminal after she bought those Cartier watches worth $20,000 for senior executives who secured a big deal with banks. Now, the Australian Post chairman has denied those allegations, but one of the big questions is what would have happened if Christine Holgate had just handed out cash bonuses to those executives, and Ms. Holgate will be wearing white when she appears in front of that Senate inquiry tomorrow, and there'll be a lot of Australia Post supporters there backing her when she's fronting.
I reckon not much would have happened. Just briefly, what about the dollar?
The Australian dollar, Fran, it's a bit lower this morning, 76.1 US cents.
All right, Peter. Thank you very much. Peter Ryan, ABC Senior Business Correspondent.